Father God, we just thank you. Thank you for what you have in store for us. Thank you for a powerful, powerful message. And Lord, we just trust that it will just land like a sweet fragrance in our hearts. Father, we pray that your words will be imprinted there and that you'll just use us to be lights out there in the world as we go into this week ahead. We pray that this message will stick on our hearts, alter all that you have to change in us. We commit this evening to you and ask that you'll just be with Amelia as she speaks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jay. Good evening, family. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Look at the person on your left and say, I'm passionate about Jesus. Oh, go all the way to the left. Then look at the person on the right and say, you know what? He's even more passionate about me. Amen. I can see I'm in the right place tonight. I've got the right audience. People that are passionate about Jesus. Can we have our first slide, please? Almost. This is not my Bible, but this is Psalm 23, an amazing scripture that I would highly recommend that you repeat and learn off by heart. It speaks about how the Lord is my shepherd, and when he's your shepherd and you're reliant on him, it is only natural that you would lack for nothing, you would want for nothing. Amen. Are you ready to read with me? Great. Okay, let's go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Next slide. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Anybody want to shout amen to that? Yeah. Amen. Amen. God is good. And all the time. I love it. I love it. Amen. Okay. So tonight we're going to be reading a lot from Matthew 24 and Matthew 25. So I'm a bit old school, so I like my Bible. So I brought my Bible and I brought the scriptures for you guys, but I know that you guys like your technology, so you're welcome to get that ready while we get started. Okay. The title of my message this evening is, next slide. What in the world is happening? Okay, I'm sure anybody who reads any newspaper, this past week even, will see that the world is in unrest. Nobody knows what is happening. But guess what? Jesus has a plan. And guess what? He's your shepherd and my shepherd. So he's got it all under control. Amen. Tonight, my message is designed to give you hope. As the church, we carry the voice of hope wherever we go. But if we ourselves don't have that fountain of hope, what do we draw from? Do you agree? So that is the aim of my message tonight. My aim, my objective, as always, is not to produce a well-structured message with a very precise beginning, middle, and end. That is not my objective. My objective tonight is to deliver the Word of God and allow the Word to speak for itself to your heart. Amen. Amen. Next slide. Okay, I just want to warn you up front. I have a lot of scriptures, so I almost want to say, on your marks, get set, go. What I would advise is that you take down the actual scripture and try and follow as much as you can. And then you can always refer to it later if you want to go over the scriptures. Is that okay? Good. Okay, let's go. Matthew 24, verse 3. So here we go. This is an account that Matthew is giving. Peter, James, John, and Andrew ask Jesus. Before I start with this particular scripture, I want to just touch on two things. The first thing is Bible interpretation. Scholars will tell you, Bible scholars will tell you, that it is very important to note in a passage of Scripture who is speaking and who is he speaking to. Who is the audience? Do you understand? So not everything pertains to me. Do you understand? So if he says, go to Judea, he's not necessarily speaking to me. I don't need to pack my bags and go to Judea. Do you understand? I'm not the particular audience that he's addressing in that passage of Scripture. Okay. Before we read this, I want to just take you or tell you about a story, a Jewish custom. This is a Jewish practice that a lot of the Jewish people partake in. And I want you, once I've told you the story, I want you just to park it and we'll visit it a bit later. So this is how the story goes. In Jewish custom, when a young man is betrothed to a young lady, what happens is he's betrothed to her, and once he's betrothed, he goes away to prepare a house for her. Okay? He goes to prepare a house. Her family have an idea of the season in which he will come back, but they don't know the day, they don't know the time, and they don't know the precise day it would be. Do you understand? So, but they know the season. So he goes to prepare a house. When he is ready, he comes back unannounced. He doesn't send an SMS or an email to say, I will be there. He just arrives. And sometimes the family is sleeping. He collects his bride and they go off together. Isn't that amazing? Okay, now we can read. So Peter, James, John, and Andrew are asking Jesus this. Jesus is sitting on the Mount of Olives. And they say to him, the signs of the times, okay, this is the heading, and the signs of the times and the end of the age. Now, as he sat on Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of age? Three questions. When will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of age? The backdrop to this is they were talking about the Mount of Olives. Sorry, the Mount of Olives is where it was on. Sorry, I need some water. Thank you. The temple. They were talking about the temple here, and Jesus says that all the temple would be destroyed and all the stones, not one stone would be left one on top of the other. It would all be destroyed. So they're asking Jesus, when will this take place? Okay. Next slide. Luke answers this. So if you want to go to Luke, you can go to Luke. We can read from this side if you want. So Jesus says to, he's talking to Israel or to the Jewish remnant and says, okay, the answer to the first question, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by the armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her, for these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in these days, or in those days. For there will be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away into all the nations. This is speaking about the diaspora. How many of you have heard that word? I know it's a big word. Basically, it refers to the Israelites that were scattered from their land. Okay, and we know this throughout history. How many turmoil and tribulations the Israelites went under, or the Jewish people went under. Okay. And then it says, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Next slide. The next two questions are answered by Matthew. Now, this is quite lengthy, so I'm going to read from my Bible. I'm going to start reading from there, and then I'm going to read from my Bible. Are you all okay so far? Okay. Matthew 24, 4 to 35. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Okay. Do you see that in Matthew, Jesus is speaking to the Jews? So I'm going to carry on reading now. For nations will rise up again. Right? Nations will rise against nations and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to the tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all the nations for my name's sake. Okay, let's pause there. Let's go to the next slide along. So let's just pause there for a second. Jesus is speaking to Israel. So a lot of the times, we misinterpret the word of God. When we read that as the church, we go, that's what we do, right? But this is not for you. This is not for the church. This is for the Jewish remnant. And it's amazing, I put this in here, because I wanted you to see how awesome our Lord is. As a young boy, he goes into the temple at the age of 13. They hand him the scroll. He opens it up to Isaiah's prophecy. And Jesus reads this. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." This is the kingdom right here, by the way. We are going through the kingdom. This is the kingdom. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book. Next slide. This was the actual prophecy from Isaiah. The exact same thing. Then if you scroll down to number 2, it says, "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he goes on to say, "And the day of vengeance of our God." Obadiah 1 verse 15. But between that comma, it says the year of the Lord, comma, and the day of vengeance of our God is 2,000 years. Isn't that amazing? Next slide. Romans 5 verse 9 says, "Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." So let me clarify. When Jesus came, the first coming of Jesus was for the Jews. They were supposed to be an example or a light to the nations. But instead, they rejected him. They rejected their Messiah. Salvation was then offered to the Gentile, to you and I. Fast forward a couple of years. He said he will come again bodily for the Jewish people. But in between that period is the church. John 14, verses 1 to 3. The picture that I spoke to you about earlier on, this is it. "Let not your heart be troubled. You who believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be." This was shared, John 14 verses 1 to 3, was shared in the upper room. So it was a glimpse. It was almost as when Jesus came and he spent time with his disciples. There's glimpses where he speaks about the church. This is one of them. It actually took somebody like Paul, a vessel like Paul, that he raised up to show us what the church would look like, you and I. Isn't that amazing? Next slide. Matthew 24, verse 13. Before we get there, 24 verse 13. If we scroll down from 24 and you go all the way to 13, it says there, I'm just going to the scripture before that. "Then many will be offended will betray one another and will hate one another. Remember, he's talking to the Jewish remnant. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. So sometimes as Christians, we misinterpret this. We say, you see, he who endures to the end will be saved. So it means you need to go through the tribulation period. Because if you endure, you will be saved. Okay. So zoe equals saved means rescue. But do you understand that he's not talking to the church? Revelation 7 verse 8, and I'll tell you why I say he's not talking to the church. Revelation 7 verses 4 to 8 says, and I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin. 12,000 were sealed. So a lot of people will say to you, or Christians will say, they're going through the tribulation period, they're going to stay behind, they're going to endure to the end. But this passage of scripture in Revelation specifically says that there will be from the 12 tribes of Israel. So my question is then, from what tribe do you belong? Next slide. 1 John 3 verse 3. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. John is speaking to the church. It's amazing that Paul took a certain posture. And because we know he's responsible for 2/3 of the New Testament, is it then a given that we would follow that posture of Paul? 2 Peter 1 verse 19, again to the church, we also who have the prophetic message, so many prophetic messages, as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place. Remember, we sang earlier on tonight that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Okay? You have been set apart. Correct? So even though you see the things that are happening, they must come to pass. But know that you are not part of it. God has made a plan for you and I. I hope this stirs some hope in your heart. That there's a plan for you. Titus 2 verse 2 to 13. Looking for the blessed hope. This is Paul speaking. Now understand that this was obviously way beyond his time. But he says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Next slide. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 17, Paul again speaking to the church. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Yay. Okay, so this is what I've been wanting to say. I've been saying to the guys that I've been like trying to stay in my skin. This is my passion. I live to see the Lord. And I understand, that a lot of people who have gone before, Christians who have been maybe serving the Lord for 70 years plus, are saying, yeah, but your grandfather spoke about the rapture and we're still waiting. Or they will say to you, do you know the word rapture is not in the Bible? I'm sure you've all heard that. Do you know the word Trinity is also not in the Bible? But the meaning is there. Triune God. Three in one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay, so here we have caught up. The Greek verb for the word is caught up, taken up, which is harpazo. Good time to write it down. Matthew 24, verses 29 to 34. Jesus speaks first to Israel and then to the generation. If you read further down, Matthew 24 is quite long, it's quite lengthy. So because of the sake of time, I'm not reading through everything. But if you scroll down, you will see further down in Matthew 24, verses 9 to 34. Surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. So what happens in Matthew is Jesus tells them what will happen to the Jewish people, how they will be scattered, remember, the diaspora. Then he also talks about how they will be brought back after the Holocaust, actually, 1948. They'll be brought back to Israel and be called a nation again. Now, understand, I'm sure maybe your grandfathers would have seen two world wars, World War I and World War II. They would have also seen this take place. You and I are the generation that most qualifies to see the Father come back. Isn't that something to be excited about? Israel is back as a nation. Go look, the Temple Mount right now in the newspapers is the hottest property in the world. But it's not back in the hands of the Jews quite yet. But watch this space. You and I have got so much to be hopeful for. Because we are in this world, but not of this world. We are the bride of Christ. Have you ever seen a bride? I wanted to show you this because the Lord kept showing me this picture. Have you ever seen a bride saying, I won't go, I won't go? Her groom's waiting, but she said, I won't go. In fact, she starts walking backwards. No, she's excited to see her groom. She wants to see him. But it feels like in the church, and I think I can say this because I've been around the church for quite some time, been born again since I was 7 years old, the pendulum is almost swung. So we were at a stage when I was young and going to church, 7 years old, where we were all excited for the rapture and maybe going to the extreme where we would do weird things. But let's just leave it at that. We were at that side, you know what I mean? And that's all we spoke about was the rapture. In fact, they had me so hyped up that I was a lot older and I was in London and I got onto the tube. And my best friend got onto the tube with me. But we literally got on, you know, there's lots of people, lots of crowds. She got on behind me. And I'm holding on, and I turn around, and she's gone. I was like in a panic mode. I'm like, I've been left behind. And I'm like looking frantically. I mean, where could she have gone? We're on the subway. We're on the tube. She sat. So I didn't see her. So I panicked. I said, don't do that again. She's like, okay, I won't. I won't. So we've had weird stories like that, and we can laugh at ourselves now. Yes, but it was lots of things happened. I remember the one time, some of you have been born again for a long time, would remember movies like Mark of the Beast, Left Behind, movies like that. And I see that some of them are being remade and published again. I remember the one Saturday, my brother went early to work and my dad was out of the house and my mom went out of the house. And I woke up and it was about 9 o'clock and the house was empty. So, you know, the first hour, you're like, no, no, no. You know, they're coming back. First hour. And second hour, you're like, have I got enough tin food? Third hour, you start to panic a little bit. The rapture's happened and I'm left behind. Anyway, I wasn't. They came back. I remember another time, more recent, KB. Impact went off, I don't know for what reason, there was like, they went off air. They had technical problems. So my best friend phones my mom, oh, are you still there? Because if you're there, we're okay, we haven't been left behind. So it's good to laugh at ourselves, because sometimes as, you know, Christians and charismatics, we can do funny things. So it's just interesting that I've seen that pendulum swing from one side where we were radical and the rapture, to a side where we don't talk about it. We don't talk about it. Don't mention the rapture. You know it's not in the Bible. We don't talk about it. And my idea tonight is just to ignite hope in you. Because the rapture is real. Hapazo is in the Bible. Your King of Kings is coming back for you. Be excited. That is the posture Paul had. How much more should we have that same posture? His focus wasn't on death. His focus was on Jesus. Ours should be the same. Okay, next slide. 2 Peter 3, verses 3 to 4. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in those last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of this coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from beginning of creation. Okay, that's pretty self-explanatory, hey? See, if only we would read our Bibles and not listen to what people say, because in its second hand, get it straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. 2 Peter 3, verses 8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. Okay, next slide. Hosea the prophet, 6 verse 2, said this, after 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. How many years has it been since Jesus has come? 2,000? 2,000 years, right? Which is technically how many days? 2 days. So guess what we're in? The third day. 2 Peter 3, verses 9. The Lord is not slack. You know, a lot of us, like I said earlier on, are saying, but you know, he said he was coming like how many years ago? You know, our grandfather said that. Paul was looking forward to the Lord coming, okay? So this is reference to that. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. May this touch your heart. As some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Shout amen, somebody. Amen. That is our God. He doesn't wish that not one person would perish, but that all would come to repentance. You know, I have a very imaginative, we spoke about imagination early on, imaginative mind. So I imagine in my head that on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, okay, I imagine, and I might have shared this, I imagine the Holy Spirit in heaven waiting, saying to God the Father, can I go? And he's like, wait. Can I go? And he's like, wait. Can I go? And when the Father says, go, he like rushes down and fills that auditorium. In the same way, in my mind, Jesus is saying, can I go? Can I go? Can I go get my bride? Can I go? Can I go? And when Jesus comes, make no mistake. When that trumpet sounds, you're going to hear it because we're going up. We are going up. Next slide. Romans 8, verse 22 to 23. Paul speaks to the church. This is what I was speaking about, the posture of the church. We know that the whole creation has groaned as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption of sonship, the redemption of our bodies. You know that Jesus paid for everything that we could ever possibly need or hope for in this life. Paid for your sickness. Paid for poverty. Everything he paid for, full price. In fact, the Bible tells us that it was an overpayment for our sin. Sins dealt with, paid with. The only thing that is outstanding is the redemption of our bodies. Next slide. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 to 17. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring him those who fall asleep in Jesus. God will bring with him those who fall asleep in Jesus. Paul talking to the church. Next slide. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord. These are not his own words. He's saying, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise. I suppose the trumpet will be so loud that they're going to rise. That the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up, harpazo, together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. You know, it's wonderful. I mean, to be in heaven, I mean, with the Lord. Fantastic. You know, it's there will be no more suffering. There will be no more worries. Student loans. None of that. Jobs. None of that. Yeah, woo! None of that. None of those problems. But as wonderful as all of those things, the main thing is that we will be with Jesus. We will be with our bridegroom. Next slide. Hebrews 9, verses 28. So also Christ was offered once and for all time as a sacrifice, all time, once for all time, as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly awaiting him. So just to recap, remember we said that Jesus came bodily for Israel, they rejected him. He will come bodily for Israel again. That is the second coming. But we're going to be harpazo out of here. Philippians 3, verses 20 to 21. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly awaiting for him to return. Do you understand the posture of the church? As our Savior, he will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his, using the same power with which he will bring everything under order. Isn't that amazing? Your body's going to be transformed. Remember, after Jesus' body was transformed, he still ate a meal with Peter, remember? Amazing. It is wow. It says they're using the same power with which he will bring everything under control. I just want to touch on this. When Jesus came the first time, he came as the lamb, the sacrificial lamb. When he comes the next time bodily for Israel, he will come as the Lion of Judah, where right will be right and wrong will be wrong. So those of us who use grace as an excuse, as a license to sin, take note. Ask yourself, what I'm doing, I condone my sin because of grace. What I'm doing, will Jesus condone this during the millennial reign? I can guarantee you the answer will be no. All those moral issues that we are battling with in the world today, let's check ourselves. Right will be right and wrong will be wrong. He's coming, not as the lamb, but as the Lion of Judah. And we get to reign with him for 1,000 years as the church. Shout amen! Amen! Next slide. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 55. Paul writes to the church, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." You know, that's exactly what the church is. That's why Jesus chose when to say certain things to the disciples, because they wouldn't be able to comprehend the mystery of the church. It took a vessel like Paul to be raised up to explain the mystery of the church. And the Bible itself is full of mystery, if only you would go through it and read it. And understand something. This message is not because we're looking for the Antichrist or any of those type of things. We're purely looking for Jesus. That's all we're looking for. That's the beginning and the end of it. We're just looking for Jesus. Okay, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, for this corruptible must be put on incorruptible, and this mortal must be put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death swallowed up in victory. Read it together. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Next slide. Acts 1, verses 10 to 11, King James Version. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go up into heaven. Isn't that amazing? Tonight, my heart is that you would just understand your positioning as the church, that God had you in mind from the foundations of the earth. He has made a plan for you. And if he's made a plan for you during these times, he's made a plan for every trial and tribulation you are currently facing, whether it be a mortgage, a student home, finances, healing, whatever your need is, he's made provision for you. Why? Because he's passionate about you. He loves you so intensely. Amen. 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 And that's the end of my message tonight. Before Jason comes up, sorry, Jay, I was wondering if you feel, you know what, Amelia, I'm not sure if I can be labeled as part of the church. It's very easy. You know, the Bible continually talks about how we are to be like little children when we come to the Word of God and when we come to the understanding of the things of God. When the Word of God becomes complicated and not comprehensible, you need to just take a check. Because it is meant for everyone. The Word of God never disqualifies. It always qualifies. That's what Jesus did. He qualified us. So what I would like to do, with your permission, Jay, if the leadership could come and stand over here, and I'm going to ask you a personal question, and I want everybody just to bow your heads and close your eyes and just really answer this question from the bottom of your heart. Don't worry about the people next to you or what will they think, or that's not important. This is just between you and God. So if you could bow your heads and close your eyes, not look at me, that'd be great. If you would say to me, Amelia, I understand what you've spoken about here tonight, and I would like to accept Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I would like to be ready when he comes to fetch his bride. I would like to be one of the five virgins that are ready, oil lamps full, when the groom comes. If that is you, it's very easy. It's a simple prayer. I want you to raise your hand, and I will pray with you. Thank you. I see those hands. You can put your hands down. This is between you and God. The Bible tells us that when one person gives their life to the Lord, the whole of heaven rejoices. So I would like you to repeat this prayer after me. Father God, we can all pray this. Father God, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. I accept Jesus' full payment for my sins. Past, present, and future. I accept the fact that he died for me and was risen on the third day and is seated on the right hand of the Father. I no longer choose to live my life according to my own plans. In exchange for Jesus' life, I give my life back to him. Holy Spirit, won't you come into my life and make something new of my life? My life is no longer my own. I am now a child of God. On my way to heaven. Waiting for the return of my groom. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, the word tells us that you are born again, that you are now a child of God. I would encourage you to find three people and share your testimony with them. Go tell them about the commitment you made tonight. And then get into a good Bible-based church. If this is the church that the Lord has led you to, come and speak to the leadership. Get forms from them after the service. Sign up, do the courses, do what you need to do. Get built in. Here's the thing. When you are a single brick lying around, you can get stolen. You can get kicked around. You can get misplaced. But if you're built in, it's very difficult to steal a brick out of this wall. Correct. So I'm also speaking to those of us who've been sitting and warming a seat for the last year or two. Get built in. Get built in. Because here's the thing. While we wait for our groom to arrive, we need to get busy. You heard God's heart. It is not his desire that one would be left behind or one would perish. We need to get busy. There's a lost world out there. You and I are the answer. Amen. 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 The Lord bless you. Have a lovely week. Before we go, I'm going to pray a blessing over you so you can stand and lift your hands. Close your eyes, lift your hands. Father, I pray a blessing over this congregation, Lord. May you be their everything this week. Jesus, become their wisdom. For every challenge that they face this week, Father, I pray that you would be the answer. May God turn every stumbling block into a stepping stone for you. May God turn everything that the devil throws at you and cause you to work for your good. For he himself was wisdom for you. May you be able to plug into the wisdom of God. I pray that God will give you and everyone under the sound of my voice the spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of him. Not second-hand revelation, but personal, intimate revelation. May your relationship with the Lord grow from strength to strength. May you become more passionate about Jesus than you ever have been in the days past. Father, I pray that you would protect every person during this holiday, well, during this period, our holiday season, in the secret place of the Most High. Shield them from every sickness and disease and from all the dangers and harms and accidents. From all the power of darkness and from all the power of the enemy. Father, I pray that they would come back, Father, feeling refreshed and renewed in the new term, Lord, with a definite purpose and identity of their calling in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Thanks, Joe. Okay. Have a wonderful week. If you're going away, be safe. We'll see you when you get back. The Lord bless.